Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're going exploring the world of biblical prophets.
Oh, yeah.
Really fascinating stuff. And I have to say, the lecture transcript you sent in from scholar Robert Banoy, this one's got some seriously mind-blowing insights.
Absolutely. It's a great one.
Yeah, how these figures actually operated. I mean, because so often we get this image, right? The prophet, the wild-eyed, maybe a little unhinged, super ecstatic.
Yeah, the classic image.
Yeah, but Vannoy, he really pushes back against that whole stereotype.
He does. He actually calls it, get this, the myth of the ecstatic prophet. He points out, there are those examples of prophets like really showing strong emotions, right? Or even speaking as if they were God.
Oh, yeah.
But those instances, Vannoy says, they're often misinterpreted.
Okay, so how does he explain that then? 'Cause, I mean, it does seem pretty, out there, right?
Well, he says, look at the idea of prophets speaking in the first person. That doesn't automatically mean they're in some sort of trance, right, or possessed. Think of it more like a herald announcing, a king's decree. They'll say, thus says the king, not because they are the king, but to emphasize that authority. And it's the same principle with prophets. They're relaying God's word. And sometimes that just means, kind of adopting God's voice.
Okay, but I mean, what about those times when prophets are literally called madmen in the Bible?
Oh, good point. Yeah.
I'm thinking of like in 2 Kings when that guy anoints Jehu, right, as king, and everyone's like, he's crazy. Or in Jeremiah where he's labeled mad by that false prophet. I mean, that seems like more than just like a rhetorical device.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You could definitely read those passages as evidence of some altered mental state. But Vannoy, he makes this really interesting argument. He says that madman label, it's usually applied because of the content of what the prophet's saying, not their mental state. Think about it. These guys were delivering some seriously harsh critiques, right? Challenging social norms, predicting some pretty unsettling stuff. That's going to make people uncomfortable,
Oh, for sure.
even if the person's perfectly sane.
So it's less about them actually being crazy, more about people not liking the message.
Exactly. It's like a way to dismiss the message without really dealing with it.
And you have to remember, even Jesus got called demon-possessed
Right.
for his teachings.
So yeah, madman is a pretty standard tactic to discredit someone, when you don't like what they're saying.
That makes sense. Okay, so if it's not about like dramatic displays or pronouncements of doom and gloom, what does make a true prophet, according to Vannoy?
Well, he says if we're looking for those genuine ecstatic experiences, we need to turn to the prophet's visions.
Visions,
These
okay.
are way more central to what they were doing than any outward behavior.
Okay, well let's get into visions then. What would a vision have been like for a prophet? I mean, paint us a picture here.
Right, so imagine, like a waking dream, the prophet is fully conscious, but they're transported to another reality. Seeing vivid images, hearing voices, experiencing stuff beyond the normal senses.
So I wouldn't necessarily see them like rolling on the floor or any outward signs.
Not necessarily, no.
More internal.
Much more internal, yeah. And there's even some evidence that these visions, they involved a specific type of altered consciousness.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's this Greek word, ecstasis.
Ecstasis.
And often that gets translated as trance. And it's used in the New Testament to describe the visions of figures like Peter and Paul.
Interesting.
So maybe it's better to think of it as like visionary ecstasy.
Visionary ecstasy.
Like they're deeply immersed in this divine realm.
That's fascinating. So the stereotype of the raving ecstatic prophet,
Right.
maybe not totally accurate.
Not the whole picture, yeah.
But let's shift gears a little bit. We've been talking about like receiving the message, right? But what about delivering it? These prophets, they weren't just, repeating what they saw and heard, right?
Oh, no, not at all. This is where it gets really interesting, I think. They were definitely faithful to the divine message, but their own individual personalities, they still shine through in their preaching.
So, are you saying God chose people with like specific
I
temperaments,
think so, yeah.
backgrounds, styles to deliver certain messages?
It seems that way.
That adds a whole other level to this, doesn't it?
It does. It's so complex. There's this really beautiful quote from theologian Gerhard Despaus, and he compares the human element in prophecy to a prism, refracting divine light into all these different colors.
Oh, wow.
So the message itself, pure light, but it gets filtered through that unique personality of the prophet, creating like this more nuanced expression of God's will.
That is such a powerful image. It really makes you wonder,
It
what
does.
kind of person God would choose,
For
right?
sure.
to give a message of hope versus a message of, you know, judgment or something.
Yeah, totally. But before we get too far down that road, I think there's a big misconception we need to address about prophets. Because people often assume they were like radical innovators, right?
Like totally new ideas.
Exactly. But Vinoy really pushes back on that.
Oh, interesting. So what does he say?
He says they weren't starting from scratch. They weren't trying to overthrow everything, you know, the existing religious order or come up with some brand new theology. Their core message was actually about returning to that foundational covenant between God and Israel.
That makes a lot of sense. So more like reformers than revolutionaries.
Yeah, exactly. Think of them like guardians of the covenant.
Guardians of the covenant. Okay.
Reminding people of their obligations, calling out any deviations from that original agreement.
So not throwing out the rule book.
Right.
But saying, hey, remember what you sign up for. Let's get back to basics.
Exactly.
Okay, so within that call to faithfulness, were there any specific themes, like, or patterns to their messages?
Oh, absolutely. Vinoy outlines four major themes that run through all the prophetic preaching.
Oh, interesting. So it's like a four-prong message?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Each prong addressing a different aspect of that covenant relationship.
I'm hoofed. Weigh it on me. What are the four prongs?
Okay, so the first one is religious and theological. The prophets, they constantly reminded people of God's unique nature.
Okay.
His power, his sovereignty, his holiness, his justice. But they also emphasized his mercy and willingness to forgive those who repent.
So it's about like establishing that fundamental reality of who God is.
Exactly.
Okay, what's the next prong?
Okay, so the second prong focuses on morality and social relationships.
Okay.
The prophets, they saw this really strong link between genuine faith and how you act, you know, your ethical behavior.
Right.
They spoke out against injustice, corruption, greed, all of that, showing how those things just violate the covenant.
So it's not just talking the talk.
No.
It's walking the walk.
Yeah. Living out your faith in your daily life.
Got it. Okay. So what about the third prong?
The third one addresses political issues.
Political. Okay.
And I think this is so interesting because the prophets, they weren't afraid to criticize kings and leaders, you know, holding them accountable.
Even when it was risky?
Even when it was risky. Yeah, because they understood that a nation's political policies, they're not separate from its spiritual health.
Oh, wow.
If a king was unjust or the government was corrupt, it just leads to oppression, you know, and it weakens that whole covenant bond.
So the personal, the social, the political.
All tied together.
All tied together.
For sure.
That's fascinating. Okay, bring us home. What's that fourth prong? What's the final piece of this puzzle?
All right, so the fourth prong is all about eschatology and messianic expectations.
Eschatology, right? Like dealing with the end times, right?
Exactly, yeah. The prophets, they often offered glimpses into the future. You know, predictions of judgment, restoration, the coming of a Messiah.
A Messiah, right.
A new era of peace and righteousness. But some people might think this theme, it's kind of unrelated to the others. You know, just about predictive the future, not really addressing the problems of the present. But the prophets didn't see it that way.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. Their pronouncements about the future, they were meant to inspire hope and motivate change now. They were saying, hey, God's in control and a day of reckoning is coming. So repent, turn back to God, and build a society that reflects his justice.
It's like a warning and an invitation all rolled into one.
It is a warning to those who keep doing wrong, but also an invitation to embrace God's mercy.
Hmm.
And work towards a better future.
I'm really starting to see how these four themes, they're not just separate ideas. They really do create this rich tapestry, you know?
Yeah, they're all connected.
Yeah, and each one adds to our understanding of the others. But I got to ask, how does this connect to us today? I mean, thousands of years later.
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
It is.
And I think Vinoy would say the prophet's message, it's more relevant than ever.
Okay, how so?
Just look around. We live in a world obsessed with wealth, power, where there's so much injustice, inequality. People are searching for something to fill that emptiness, that void.
It does sound a lot like the world the prophets were speaking to.
It does, right? And that's what makes their message so timeless.
Mm.
They're challenging us to examine our own hearts, our priorities, and to ask those tough questions.
Like what kind of questions?
Like, what are we truly worshiping? You know, are we putting our faith in money, status, fleeting pleasures, or are we seeking that deeper connection?
Right.
With something that really satisfies.
Are we living lives that reflect God's compassion and justice?
Exactly.
Are we standing up for those who are vulnerable?
Yeah.
Speaking truth to power, even when it's hard?
Exactly. The prophets, they call us to live differently,
to
build a world where everyone can flourish, not just a select few.
Right.
And they remind us that real change starts with us.
Wow, that's powerful. This whole deep dive has been incredible. We've we've really broken down some of those myths about prophets,
yeah.
explored this fascinating world of visions.
For sure.
And seen how their personalities and God's message, they come together to create this powerful preaching.
Absolutely.
And then those four key themes, those four prongs, right, mm-hmm. that run through their messages.
They're all connected, yeah.
And so relevant to us today.
And I think if we zoom out a bit, that emphasis on the link between true religion and ethical behavior.
Yeah.
That's something we can all think about, you know, whatever our beliefs are.
Absolutely. It's a call to look at our own life, our communities, and ask ourselves, what injustices do we see?
Yeah.
What needs a prophetic voice?
And maybe even more importantly, how are we being called to be part of the solution?
That is a great thought to leave our listeners with. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive,
yeah.
thank you so much for joining us on this journey.
Absolutely.
And we really encourage you, keep exploring a world of the prophets. There's so much to learn.
There is.
And they have so much to teach us about living lives of faith, justice, and purpose.
Couldn't agree more.
Until next time, keep diving deep. Okay, so we've seen that these prophets weren't just, you know, wild-eyed fortune tellers running around.
Right.
They were really rooted in that covenant tradition, mm-hmm. calling people back to God. And they addressed like a whole spectrum of issues, from the really personal to the political. And you mentioned, you know, their use of language was especially powerful.
Oh, it really is. Vinoy talks about how the prophets, they were masters of using all these poetic techniques.
Okay.
Especially the ones that are common in Hebrew poetry, to really drive those messages home.
You know, it's funny. When I think of prophets, I think of those fiery speeches, yeah. dramatic pronouncements. But poetry, that's not usually the first thing that pops into my head.
Right. But think about it. Poetry has this amazing ability to move us, you know?
Yeah.
To go beyond just logic and speak to our hearts.
Mm.
And the prophets, they understood that. They weren't just trying to inform people. They wanted to transform them.
Okay. So how did they do that? What kind of poetic tools did they use?
Well, one of the most common ones you see is parallelism.
Parallelism, okay.
Where you have those two lines that either like reinforce each other or present contrasting ideas.
Got it. So it's not just about the basic structure, but how they used it in these creative ways to really like make their point.
Exactly, yeah. To enhance the message. Like take Isaiah 5:7 where it says, "He looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress."
Ooh, that's powerful.
You see that? Those two parallel lines, each with that contrasting image.
Yeah.
Justice versus bloodshed, righteousness versus those cries of distress. And the effect, it's really powerful
mm-hmm.
because it shows that gap, you know, between what God expects and what's actually happening.
It's like each line builds on the one before it, and you get this sense of like mounting tension and disappointment.
Exactly. And the prophets didn't stop there. They also used vivid imagery, metaphors, to paint these really powerful pictures in people's minds.
Oh, yeah, they were masters of the metaphor.
Weren't they?
Like an example from Isaiah 5 that you talked about earlier, you know, where God's relationship with Israel,
mm-hmm.
it's compared to a vineyard.
Oh, yeah.
Such a brilliant way to show, you know, God's care for his people and then the consequences of their unfaithfulness.
And it sticks with you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Long after you've heard it. And metaphors like that, they help make these abstract concepts, you know,
yeah.
more concrete. Like there's another one from Ezekiel where the city of Tyre is described as this magnificent merchant ship.
Oh, I remember that one.
Sailing the seas.
It's such a vivid image.
It is. It helps you understand Tyre's wealth, its power.
Right.
And then ultimately its vulnerability when God decides, you know, and enough is enough.
Wow.
I'm going to sink this ship.
So these metaphors weren't just like literary flourishes.
Yes.
They were really chosen to make a specific point and evoke a specific emotional response.
Absolutely. And Vinoy argues that this is one of the key reasons why the prophets' messages, they've lasted so long.
Mm.
They bypass our intellectual defenses and speak right to the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And that creates a lasting impact.
Okay, so I'm seeing how these poetic techniques, they really pack a punch.
They do.
But let's be honest, sometimes those metaphors, those images, they can be pretty dense, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Not always easy to figure out what they're getting at.
No, biblical interpretation is an art, and it takes work, you know?
Yeah.
You have to pay attention to the context, the history, the nuances of the language.
It's not just about reading the words. It's about, like, digging deeper.
Exactly.
Asking questions, really wrestling with the text.
And that's part of what makes studying the prophets so rewarding.
Mm.
It's a challenge, but it can lead to such incredible insights.
Yeah.
A deeper understanding of God's work.
You know, as we're talking about the power of their message, it strikes me that these prophets weren't just like delivering information.
Right.
They were also reformers, right? But
Absolutely.
not in the sense of like revolutionaries.
No.
More like those guardians of the covenant.
Yeah, that's a crucial distinction.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to like overthrow the system.
Right.
They were calling people back to its true essence.
Back to those core principles
Right.
of the covenant, that foundational agreement.
Exactly. And they did that by reminding people of their obligations, their responsibility to live according to God's will
Right.
and the consequences of straying from that path.
So it was less about introducing something new,
Yeah.
more about course correction. Like,
Yes.
hey, you've drifted away from true north. Let's get you back on track.
Exactly. And they weren't afraid to, call people out
Yeah. Name names.
for their hypocrisy, their wrongdoing,
Yeah, they were fearless truth tellers.
even when it put them at risk, because their loyalty was to God, not to any human power.
So they were reformers, but reformers who had this deep reference for the past, for the tradition that they were seeking to uphold.
And I think that's so important because it shows that true reform,
Yeah.
it's not about respecting the past.
Right.
It's about rediscovering those core values and finding ways to apply them to the present.
It's about holding on to the best of what came before,
Yeah.
but also being willing to challenge what's not working anymore. And that's a message that's still so relevant today, isn't it?
It really is. We always need those reformers,
Yeah.
people who can help us see where we've gone astray and point us back in the right direction.
And the prophets give us this powerful model for that kind of reform, a model that's rooted in faith, in courage, in a deep commitment to justice. But let's get practical for a minute here.
Okay.
We've talked about the power of their language, their role as reformers, those four key themes. How do we actually apply those lessons from the prophets to our lives today?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
And I think it's one that we'll keep wrestling with as we go deeper into these prophetic writings.
Yeah, I'm up for the challenge. This deep dive is just getting more and more fascinating.
I agree. There's so much to unpack here. And I think the insights, that we get from the prophets,
Yeah.
they can be really transformative. But we've covered a lot of ground in this part, exploring their poetic techniques and that crucial role as reformers. I think it's time to shift gears a bit and dive into Vinoy's analysis of those four key themes that we touched on,
Okay.
exploring how they played out, and the prophet's messages and
Okay.
why they still resonate so powerfully with us today.
That sounds like the perfect place to pick up in part three.
Yeah.
Can't wait to unpack those themes in more detail. Okay, so we've been on this journey, this incredible journey through the world of biblical
It's
prophets.
been quite a ride.
It has. We've really shattered some of those old myths. We've explored the power of their language, seen them as these guardians of the covenant, calling people back to God.
Yeah, back to the heart of that relationship.
Right. And now we're ready to tackle those four key themes that Vinoy
Those
highlights.
four
The
prongs.
four prongs, exactly.
It's amazing how interconnected those themes are. They're not like separate boxes. They're
Right.
all woven together.
Yeah, like threads in this tapestry.
Exactly.
So we've got the religious and theological, the moral and social, the political and the eschatological. How do they actually work together in
All
practice?
right, so let's start with that first prong, the religious and theological.
Okay.
The prophets, they were always emphasizing God's uniqueness, his power, his sovereignty, his holiness, his justice. But they didn't stop there.
Right.
They also talked about his mercy, his compassion, his willingness to forgive.
So it's not just about presenting God as this distant, all-powerful being.
No, not at all.
There's this personal element too.
Yeah, like he really cares about his people.
Yeah.
And he wants to be in relationship with them.
Okay, I like that. So that understanding of God's character, that informs how they viewed the other three prongs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, take morality and social relationships.
Okay,
The
good.
prophets, they weren't just laying down a bunch of random rules, right?
Right.
They showed how those rules came directly from God's nature and how breaking those rules, it hurts everybody, both individuals and the whole community.
So it's not just about like following the rules blindly. It's about like reflecting God's heart in our actions.
Exactly. And that link between the religious and the ethical, you can really see it in their pronouncements on social justice.
Oh yeah, for
They
sure.
were railing against oppression, exploitation, corruption,
Yeah.
because those things go against God's character
Yeah.
and his desire for a just and compassionate society.
Okay, that makes sense. So, So then that brings us to the political, that third prong.
Right.
It's amazing to me how often they directly challenged like kings and leaders, you know?
I know. It was risky
So
to
risky.
speak truth to power like that.
But they did it.
They did because they knew that a nation's political policies,
Yeah.
they're not separate from its spiritual health. You know, if the king's unjust, if the government is corrupt,
Yeah.
it's going to lead to oppression of those who are vulnerable.
Right.
And it weakens that covenant bond.
So it's all connected again.
Yeah, the personal, the social, the political, all tied together.
Wow. Okay, so now that brings us to the fourth prong,
Right, eschatology.
eschatology and the hope for a Messiah. Now, you know, some people might think this theme is kind of separate from the others, you know?
Yeah, like it's just about the future.
Yeah, just about predicting the future.
Not really dealing with the present.
But that's not how the prophets saw it, right?
No way. Their pronouncements about the future, they were meant to inspire a hope
Okay.
and motivate change in the present.
Okay.
They were saying, look, God's in control.
Yeah.
A day of reckoning is coming.
Right.
So repent, turn back to God, build a society that reflects his justice.
So it's both a warning
Yeah,
and an invitation.
exactly. To those who are doing wrong, it's like, hey, you need to change your ways.
Yeah.
But it's also an invitation to embrace God's mercy and work towards something better.
I'm really seeing how these four themes, they really are like interwoven into this intricate
They
tapestry.
are.
Each one adds to our understanding of the others. But okay, how does all of this connect to us today? I mean, thousands of years later.
Well, that's the big question, right?
It is.
And I think Vinoy would say the prophet's message, it's more relevant than ever.
How so?
Just look around. We're living in a world that's obsessed with wealth, with power, with injustice,
Yeah.
inequality. People are searching for something to fill that emptiness inside.
It does sound a lot like the world the prophets were speaking to.
It does, right? And that's why their message is so timeless. They challenge us to look at our own hearts,
Yeah.
our own priorities, and ask some tough questions.
Like, what kind of questions?
Like, what are we really worshiping? You know, are we putting our faith in money, in status, in fleeting pleasures? Or are we looking for that deeper connection
Right.
with something that truly satisfies?
And are we living in a way that reflects God's compassion, his justice? Are we standing up for those who need help, speaking truth to power, even when it's hard?
Exactly. The prophets, they're calling us to live differently, to build a world where everyone can flourish,
Right.
not just, you know, the privileged few. And they remind us that real change, it starts with us.
With our own choices, our own actions.
Exactly.
Wow, this whole deep dive has been incredible.
It has.
We've really broken down some of those myths about prophets,
We have.
explored this fascinating world of visions, and seen how their personalities and God's message, how it all comes together to create this powerful form of preaching. And then we've unpacked those four key themes,
Those four
the
prongs.
four prongs, and they're all interconnected and still relevant to us today.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And if we just step back for a second, that emphasis on the link between true religion and how we live our lives, I mean, that's something we can all reflect on,
For sure.
whatever our beliefs are.
It's a call to look at our own lives, our communities, and ask, what injustices do we see?
What needs a prophetic voice? And even more importantly, how are we being called to be part of the solution?
That's what I want our listeners to think about.
Yeah, that's a powerful thought to leave us with. So as we wrap up this deep dive, thank you so much for joining us on this journey.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
We really encourage you, keep exploring the world of the prophets. There's so much to learn,
So much.
and they have so much to teach us about living lives of faith, justice, and purpose.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Until next time, keep diving deep.